We sure do like little nuggets of truth, don't we? Something that's highly quotable and will fit on a bumper sticker or an Instagram image. We crave that kind of simplicity and certainty. For most of my adult life, the growing congregations with all the flashy programs and special effects and publicity are the ones who offer those little nuggets of absolute truth. So folks can be sure that every week when they show up for worship, they will leave with a catchy line to remember that they can then apply to their life in the week ahead. As you know, it's usually not quite that simple here, and that's rarely the way Jesus speaks, except in today's passage in Matthew. Today's passage is full of practical advice to take home. From Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, we hear a bunch of one-liners. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. There's the little story about the splinter and the log in the eye. Don't give holy things to dogs. Don't throw your pearls in front of pigs. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And then finally, that story about the parents giving bread and fish instead of stones and snakes. And it appears that Jesus just strings together a bunch of pithy one-liners. And it makes you wonder about the technique Jesus is using here. Are these powerful little nuggets of truth to be easily and universally applied? Or is there something more going on here? Many scholars believe Jesus is, in fact, using one-liners here, but not to be pithy. He's using humor here to engage his audience. Walter Wink says that Jesus used burlesque, exaggeration, irony, hyperbole, and humor to connect with his listeners. And this humor is seen in Clarence Jordan's gospel interpretation of this text when the cotton patch Jesus refers to old plank eye himself. It's funny. He uses these rhetorical devices like humor to express who God is, how God gets through to us, and what God is calling us to in our human community. God uses beautiful and creative ways to get through to us, to get our attention. Jesus uses metaphor and creative language, meaningful symbols, and even humor. Jesus would not have been accused of being a boring preacher. But he doesn't just do it to get a laugh. Today's reading is part of his Sermon on the Mount, which is critical for building the community of the kingdom. Underneath the humor of the bumper sticker-sized sayings, Jesus is showing us what his community is supposed to look like, how we are supposed to be with one another. Jesus envisioned a non-judgmental community, and that's why he offers categorical prohibitions. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. And he offers the motivation, you'll receive the same judgment you give. Underneath the wit and clever language, Jesus is making the connection between a person's relationship with others and their relationship with God. He's showing us what those relationships should be like. It's pretty ridiculous to hear. How can you say to your brother or sister, "Let me take the splinter out of your eye," when there's a log in your eye? It's pretty absurd to think about giving holy things to dogs, and I'm not saying that just because I'm a cat person. It's pretty absurd to think about throwing your pearls in front of pigs. But by using these ridiculous images, Jesus catches us off guard. He disarms us. And in doing so, perhaps we will recognize our own failings and be more forgiving towards others. That's how God wants us to treat each other, to relate to each other. This passage is all about recognizing what God is calling us to in our human community. Jesus is concerned about justice in our relationships and in our world. He says, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt to you." One way to understand justice here is the quality of all created things living together in right relationship. We'd rather use verse 1 as sort of a defense mechanism, like, "Hey, don't judge me. Remember, judge not lest ye be judged," right? But that's not what Jesus is going for here. That's not how he intends for us to use this teaching. Professor Leah Shade says, judgment must be tempered with justice if relationships are to be sustained. Standing aloof and aloft in a position of self-righteous arrogance while criticizing others reveals us to be ridiculously clueless about our own foibles. In contrast, Jesus is like a stand-up comedian who is skilled at truth-telling through humorous hyperbole. This, in turn, models how we can relate to each other. When conflicts and tensions rise, good-natured humor can go a long way to diffusing tempers. In his sermon, Jesus names the human tendency to establish one's own superiority by calling attention to the flaws and faults of others. He knows and teaches us that the only way we can clearly see is to remove the obstruction from our own eyes. He knows that honest confrontation with our own flaws and frailties can make us more compassionate in assessing another and in how we treat one another. Jesus, I believe, knew what is sometimes the hardest part of all of this for us. That when we start talking about not being judgmental, we end up guilty of being judgmental. Please tell me I'm not the only one to catch myself being particularly judgmental of an individual or group because they are being too judgmental. Jesus knew people would always judge. It was true when he first preached that Sermon on the Mount, and it is true today. Jesus' words about the speck in the log can help us to acknowledge the realities of sin and brokenness and wrongness as we are encouraged to judge others with mercy. And just for the record, judgment of others is condemned here by Jesus, and judgment of self is condemned here by Jesus. Remember that our corporate prayer of confession in worship is inextricably connected to the declaration of forgiveness. God alone is holy, and we all fall short. But before we even speak a word of confession, we hear that God is merciful. So this should be a comfort to all of us who are harder on ourselves, more judgmental of ourselves than we are of others. These words from Jesus should bring comfort to those inclined to turn on themselves and a check for those inclined to turn on others. Jesus offers these one-liners to help us understand how he wants us to treat each other and ourselves. When we move away from judgment, we may have the opportunity to experience peacefulness within ourselves, in our relationships with others, and in our relationship with God. As this sermon makes clear, the issue of judgment is difficult for us in a number of ways. I appreciate what Pastor Mark Lomax says about living this out. He says, living lives without rendering judgment may mean that our sole focus in life is bearing witness. We are to attend to the quality of our walk with God and humanity. If we find it impossible to walk blamelessly, can we at least walk honestly? Prayerful, generous, compassionate, and faithful lives lived honestly before God and in the public square will yield compelling witness of God's kingdom reality. The compassion that Jesus demonstrates and teaches in this text is a model for our human relationships. The string of seemingly straightforward one-liners is actually a pretty amazing gift to us. In this sermon, Jesus gives all who will hear the gift of learning how to respond to oppression and conflict in creative ways, both through the instructions he gives and the way he gives them. The content of this sermon is a gift, and so is his delivery. By spending more time considering Jesus' words, we can be encouraged to think more creatively. Perhaps we can find imaginative and humorous ways to figure out how to live and work together, how we can exchange judgment for justice. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. Remove the log from your eye. Don't give holy things to dogs. Don't throw your pearls in front of pigs. We could put these on bumper stickers. We could leave here armed with these one-liners, ready to lob them at others as we see fit. But we've got to resist the temptation to stop at overly simplistic interpretations, because there's more there. So hold on to these one-liners, but remember that when you apply them, if you're doing it right and faithfully, you might face challenges. But if you do it right and faithfully, you may be met with great goodness, with the gift of life in community and relationship like Jesus wanted each of us to have, with others, with ourselves, and with God. Amen.